Good morning, church. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It's on the front of your bulletin. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification.
Well, it's wonderful to have another week where we can be together, and I just want to say how much I've enjoyed getting to meet some of your family members that have come up to visit. I know I have a few from Harding that I haven't got to see yet, but they're old friends from school, so I'm looking forward to talking and visiting with them. Also, I just want to say how amazing this church is with the work you do at Golden Meadows. I got to be a part of giving the gifts out there. I think the congregation here gave out we had 200 gifts to give to the folks there almost. And it was just wonderful to see the work you do there. And it was great to see some of your grandkids and your kids that you brought to give those gifts out. I think what a great way to teach your children about the importance of giving. And so that's just a tremendous work that you do. And I want the church here to know that. You know, we're at the time of year where many of us have bought gifts. For our family, I have given that task to my wife. Almost every year, her sisters will open up our gifts and they will say, "Isaiah, thank you for this wonderful item." And I will say, "You're welcome." But I have no idea as to what it is they just opened. Paul Yoder told me about 80% of all married men have no idea about the gifts their wives have purchased. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But I'm in that 80%. I know that. But, you know, when we think about gifts in the Bible, many of our minds go back to the wise men who went out to see the baby Jesus. According to the Gospel of Matthew, they presented to him three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, one of the facts that I noticed about Matthew chapter 2 is that there's nothing there mentioned about wrapping paper. I just noticed that there. I'm very observant, as you know. And I would say this. There are many things about me that you could say I'm not very good at. And one of them would be wrapping gifts. You know, there was one year where I tried, and you know, no one had to ask, which gift did Isaiah wrap? All right, I'm just not very good. You know, parts are sticking out when I get done with the gift. And you don't even have to guess what the present is. Just read the corner of the box, and you know, okay, I know what I'm getting. So that's one thing I'm not too good with. I don't know much about wrapping gifts, but I do know this. God is in the gift-giving business. In the early chapters of Genesis, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so what did God do? He gave to Adam an amazing gift. From Adam's side, God created a beautiful, wonderful companion to be his wife. Have you ever wondered why Adam called Eve woman? I think I know the answer. When Adam saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man." Anyway, that was a great gift to Adam. And then as we continue on, as we get into Genesis and we get into the story of Noah, we read about how mankind became so evil and wicked that only one man was found to be faithful, only one man in his family. And so what did God do? He gave Noah a plan on how to build the ark to save his family from the destruction to come. That was a great gift. If it was not for God doing that for Noah, we would not be here. And then after the flood, many years had passed. And once again, mankind became evil and wicked until God found a loving couple named Abraham and Sarah. And you remember the story, Abraham and Sarah were not able to have children. And God gave Sarah a precious miracle named Isaac. And then in the book of Joshua, God gave to the Israelites possession of the land flowing with milk and honey. What an amazing gift to those Israelites. He even gave them prophets to plead with his people to follow the commandments given to them by Moses. And through those prophets, God gave them the scriptures that foretold the coming of a Savior who would save the world from their sins. And then after the last Old Testament book was written, 400 years later, God would give us the greatest gift in human history. And I want to spend some time today to speak about this amazing gift. Number one, God gave us a universal gift. You know, some of the things we buy won't fit. I remember one year I thought, well, I'm going to buy my wife a shirt. I went out and I bought her a shirt that looked real nice, but you know what? I had to take it back three times. I couldn't get it to fit. I couldn't get the right size. Sometimes the things we buy, maybe it isn't the right color. Many of the things we buy will have to be exchanged or returned. But I know there is one gift that meets every single one of our needs. It's a gift that will never need to be returned. It's a gift that will never wear out. It's a gift that will never break down or need to be repaired. It's a gift that is suitable for every child, teenager, and senior citizen. Boy or girl, man or woman, it makes no difference. The gift that all of us need is the gift announced by the angels to those shepherds. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And I believe that it was Paul who said it best. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. God gave us the gift of His own Son, Jesus Christ, so that through faith in Him, we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life with God forever and ever in heaven. God's gift is a universal gift. And then number two, God gave to us an unwrapped gift. Aren't you glad that the gift of Christianity doesn't come in wrapping paper? You know, I just think it's wonderful. God gives us a gift that's not hidden from view. It's a gift that's not just for a selected few. The gift of Christianity was ushered in by a loving God. And it was made in plain view for everyone to enjoy. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul says the gift is not like the offense. Do you remember what the offense was? Adam and Eve, they only had one thing they were told not to do. Don't eat of that tree. But that's what they did. They ate of that tree. They ate of that fruit. And when they did, sin was brought into the world. Paul says that the gift is not like the offense. By one sin, many die. But the gift of God is grace. By the death of one man, Jesus, we can be justified, righteous, and have life. Now, when we read that verse, someone might say, "Oh, Brother Isaiah, that sounds like it's almost too good to be true." You know, sometimes there are some deals that sound too good to be true, and a lot of times they are, aren't they? You know, sometimes the things we quickly find out, this is not what I thought it was. Right? The advertising was false. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul says, "You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Hardly ever will anyone die for a righteous man. Maybe someone might. But God demonstrates His love for us by this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Grace might seem too good to be true, but I want you to know it's true. We didn't deserve it, and we cannot earn it. Yet God gave it to us anyway because of His love for us. You know, sometimes we hear about last-minute gift ideas. That's what I was doing last night. I'm not very good at planning out what I'm going to buy. I just kind of go out throughout the mall, and hopefully I'll find something. You know, but you know, we have so many people to buy for, and we get in a hurry. When God decided to make it possible for us to have eternal life, I want you to know this is not something that He took lightly. This was not what you call a last-minute gift idea. This was something that God had planned long before time, long before God created the earth, long before God created Adam and Eve, long before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Even before the world rejected Him as the Messiah, God decided to give to us this great and amazing gift. John wrote that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world, Revelation 13 and verse 8. And if you look at what Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, Peter calls it God's purpose, set purpose, and foreknowledge. I like to call it the gift of Christianity, and no wrapping paper was required. And like Jason said on Wednesday night, when Jesus came to this world, this wasn't plan B, this was plan A. God had this in mind before the world was made, that He would give us this gift. And then number three, God gave to us a personal gift. When I shop, and I don't shop a whole lot, one of the greatest challenges for me is finding a personal gift. And that's why my wife does most of the shopping. You see, I'm not real good at that. But you know, and now I know it's going to be different. If you ask my wife, "Why is it that you do all the shopping?" she's going to give you a little bit of a different answer. She will say, "Well, I do all the shopping because shopping with me is like hunting with the game warden. You know, it's not a lot of fun to shop with me because, you know, I'm a little bit cheap when it comes to buying things." But you know, another reason why my wife does all the shopping is because she's really good at finding gifts that fit the person that we're shopping for. By sending Jesus to die for our sins, God gave us a personal gift. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, you remember the verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That gift was a personal gift. Jesus didn't come to die just for the rich or the poor. He didn't come just for the people who live in the United States. Jesus came for every single person in the world, and He died for you and I personally. And through that sacrifice, our relationship with God immediately changed. In John chapter 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know about his master's business. But instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Before, we were enemies of God. But because of Jesus, now we can be called a friend of God. We now have fellowship with God. We are reconciled to God. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Through Jesus, we can know God. And then the Apostle John, in his letter, in 1 John chapter 1, said, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." People sometimes think of Christianity in different ways. Sometimes people think of Christianity as nothing but a set of burdens. I can't do this and I can't do that. Instead of being able to stay home and relax, "Oh no, I got to go to church and I got to read my Bible and I got to pray and I can't do certain things." And I hope that's not the way that we view the Christian life. Some people see the Christian life for the benefits that it brings. Improved relationships, stronger marriages, guidance for raising children, emotional strength to deal with difficulties. And all those things are true, but even this misses the mark. What is the essence of Christianity? The essence of Christianity isn't rules or even the blessings. The essence of Christianity is that through Jesus we can have a personal relationship with God. Think about what Jesus did. When living on this earth, He was completely human as well as divine. He felt heartache just as you and I feel heartache. He felt loneliness just as you and I get lonely. He faced temptation as we face temptation. He felt hunger and thirst. The nails that pierced His hands would hurt just as it would hurt ours. Why did He do it? Jesus left the throne of heaven because He looked across time and saw we need a Savior. So Jesus gave to us the gift of Himself. You can't get a gift that's any more personal than Jesus. And then number four, God gave us a practical gift. Now, you know, one thing you'll learn about me is that I'm not what you call a handyman. You know, if you bought me one of those power tools you see up there, and you know, I'd say thank you for the gift. It looks really nice. I can see there's something on it that spins. You know, that's really great. But I don't know how to use tools. That's pretty bad, you know. Once in a while, I might use a screwdriver, you know, usually to put batteries in the kids' toys. But that's about it, you know. For me, getting a set of tools is not a practical gift unless you teach me how to use them. But, one story I'll share with you. One story is told about two boys who were discussing about what they might receive during the holiday season. One little boy said to the other, he said, "You know, happiness, money can't buy happiness, you know." He said, "You have to convert the money into toys." So that's a good idea for if you're a little kid. But anyhow, that's what a practical gift would be. And I'm sure you know what it's like. You know, once in a while, you know what it's like. You get a gift that you know you won't use, or it's a gift you know that you can't use or that you don't like or want. Stores are full of junk gifts. God gave us the most practical gift in the history of the world. Eternal life for those who obey Him. And this is something that all of us need. This is a gift that all of us must have. Without eternal life, without Jesus, we would die in our sins. And we would be in eternal darkness. but with it we live eternally with God forever and ever. How much more practical can you get than that? And then number five. This is my last one. Number five. God gave us a purchased gift. Now, you know, it's always a good idea to purchase the gift you're going to buy, isn't it? You know, so make sure that you buy your gifts. But anyhow, the gift of salvation came at a great price. In Acts chapter 20, Paul gave his farewell speech to the church at Ephesus. In verse 28, he reminded the elders, "Guard the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." And in Hebrews chapter 9, we are told that our salvation did not come from the blood of goats and bulls, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You know, many people today, they look at that manger, but they don't see a king. They don't see the Savior of the world. They don't see the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, as Isaiah chapter 9 describes him. They don't see anything special at all. The only thing they might see is an ordinary human being. The Bible wants us to understand that the cost of the church and the cost of our salvation could only be paid by the precious blood of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus describes how precious it is to be in His church. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all that he had to buy the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went out and sold everything that he had and bought it." To be in Christ's church is a treasure. How thankful we should be that God would love us so much that he would allow Jesus to die on a rugged cross to give us this great pearl of great value. The price that Jesus paid in order for us to have these gifts is worth more than anything we could ever possess. This wonderful gift of God had a great price, and Jesus paid it with his blood. I want to close with one last thought. The gift of God must be received. I told my girls after church service today that I would let them open up one of their gifts. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of them will say, "Daddy, we don't want any of those gifts." I'm almost positive. I'm almost positive that none of them will say, they won't say, "Daddy, please, just give those gifts to somebody else. We don't want them." Can you imagine someone wanting to give you a gift, and in response you say to that person, "You go ahead and keep it, I don't want it"? Wouldn't that be insulting to the person giving you that gift? God has given us the ultimate gift. It is a universal, unwrapped, personal, practical gift that Jesus purchased with his blood. Can you imagine how God must feel when a person says to him, "I don't want it. I don't want your grace. I don't want your forgiveness. I don't want your love"? What an insult that would be. But that's exactly what happens when you're not right with God and you refuse to respond to the invitation of Jesus. God's gift must be received. How do we receive it? The Bible tells us that we need to love God with all of our heart, minds, and soul. And we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then the Bible tells us that we need to repent of our sins. To repent of our sins means that we need to change the way that we are going. We need to start going not our way, but the way, but God's way. And then the Bible says we need to be baptized. We need to be immersed in water. And then something amazing happens. We can't see it. But the Bible tells us that our sins, all those mistakes we've made in the past, are completely washed away. And it's all because of Jesus and the blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. This is how we receive the greatest gift that the world has ever seen. Today, do you need to receive it? Do you need to receive the greatest gift that there is? I hope you'll receive it. If you're not right with God, make that decision today. I need Jesus in my life. And so we invite you to come. If you're someone that needs to respond, if you need prayers from the church, we invite you to respond. We have wonderful leaders in the back. They'll be waiting for you, and I'll be here in the front if you want to talk with me. But if we can help you in any way, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing.